Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this day. We bless your name. How great, how good, how glorious you are. We thank you because of the word that you have given us. And we're asking, O Lord, that today this word will penetrate every heart in Jesus' name. And great will be the benefit and the blessing of everyone in Jesus' name. Bless your people today. Enlighten your people today. And I pray, Lord, you empower, energize, encourage, and comfort everyone in the truth of the word in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, as the word of God enters, light will enter. As the word of God enters, the water that refreshes and cleanses will be upon everyone in Jesus' name. And the word, like hammer, will break every rock. The word, like fire, will burn every chaff out of every life in Jesus' name. Bless everyone without exception. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless everyone. You can sit down. We're looking at Psalm 119. As you look at this, it tells us in Psalm 119, verse 1. In verse 1, it says, blessed is the man, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And then in verse 2, it tells us, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Verse 3 tells us, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Go on to verse 9. In verse 9, wherewith thou shall a young man, wherewith thou shall a young woman, wherewith thou shall a believer, wherewith thou shall a young believer, a convert, a babe in Christ, and even the elderly in Christ, wherewith thou shall a member of the body of Christ, wherewith thou shall ministers cleanse their ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Then it says in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then he tells us in verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We come to the word, and this Psalm 119 concentrates on the word altogether. Why? Because number one, the word brings conviction. And without conviction, you'll not make any move. Without conviction, you will not go towards the Lord and towards your salvation. Number one, it brings conviction. Number two, it brings confession that leads to conversion. It is the word of God coming upon our lives. It is the word of God pricking us, the word of God purging us, the word of God that drives us to prayer, that brings that confession of sin, and then there is conviction. It is the word of God that also brings cleansing. The word of God, we're dirty naturally, we're filthy naturally, we're depraved naturally. It is the word of God that brings cleansing. It cleanses us, it washes us, it changes our lives, it turns us around. It is the word of God that brings character, the character of Christ in us. That we come to the word of God and it says, look at Christ, look at our Savior, look at our Redeemer, and then he has given us the steps by his life by which we're to walk. It is that word of God that brings character. It is the word of God that brings the compass for the conscience. Our conscience will be ignorant. Our conscience will not know right or wrong. Our conscience will not know the way to go, what is right and what is wrong. But it is the word of God that is the compass for our conscience. It's the word of God that builds us up, constructs us, and make us to live according to the constitution of the word of God. And it is the word that brings commitment to the great commission. The commission the Lord has given us is the word that makes us to know what we have known now, the light we have. Let that light so shine before men that they will see your good works and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. It is the word of God that brings consecration. We wouldn't know what to consecrate our lives for, how to consecrate our lives, were it not for the word of God. That's how important the word of God is. And if you want to be prepared, ready for heaven, it is this word that shows you there's a heaven to get to and there's a hell to avoid. And then it is the word that tells you how to prepare to get that holy place, that glorious place. And by the grace of God, as you come and you hear and you learn and you know the word of God, the power of the word will work in your life and then prepare you for heaven and for glory in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why today we're looking at the power of God's word in abiding believers. Those who say they are believers, they are in, they are out. Like caterpillars and worms, they crawl in, they crawl out. Those are not abiding. They are abiding believers who abide in the word. And the truth abides in them. And they are able to abide in the blessings of the Lord. Those are the believers. They're rooted in the word. They're grounded in the word. And the word makes their lives what their lives ought to be. The power of God's word in abiding believers. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the purpose and power of his word in the heart. In the heart, with my whole heart have I kept your word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The purpose and the power of his word in the heart. Number two, our purity and performance of the word in hope. Our purity, we have a hope, we're going to heaven. A hope, we're going to be with the Lord forever. And because of that hope, we keep ourselves pure. He that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The purity and the performance of the word in hope. Number three is the permanence and preeminence of the word from heaven. Thy word is settled in heaven, O Lord, forever. The permanence and the preeminence of the word from heaven. Let's come to number one. Number one is the purpose and the power of his word in the heart. Let's come back to Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, treasured in my heart, kept in my heart, embraced in my heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without salvation, all will be sinning and coming short of the glory of God. Without a resident Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And if you will open your heart, then I will come in and sup with him. Without the presence of the resident Savior, you'll be living in sin. But when Christ, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. When that Savior, when that Lamb of God, when that living Word enters into you and it lives there, then it keeps you from sin. Number one, it brings you salvation. Number two, it brings you sanctification. Number three, it brings you strength, the strength to stand and the strength to live. Number four, it brings you stability. You're stable in the Lord. You're not the one going in and coming out. The Word of God inside your heart stabilizes you and strengthens you. Then number five, it gives you a shield. It's the Word of God that brings a shield to you. And then when the arrow of the devil is thrown at you, the Word will act like a shield. And then it acts like seal. It seals you and secures you, that no matter what is happening, the wind may blow and the sea may roar, but you are sealed by the Word, you are strengthened by the Word, and you are secured in the Word. That's the reason it's so important you know the purpose of the Word and the power of the Word in your heart. Look at verse 58. It says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. My heart, and then the word, and then my heart. In 161, verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. It's the word in the heart, and the heart in the word, that makes you separated from the world, and then you are set apart unto the Lord. It tells us in Job chapter 22, reading from verse 22, Job 22 verse 22, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. The law is the word. The law is the commandment. The law is the statutes. The law is the standard. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. You know, he uses those two words there, the law and then his words. His word is his law, and his law is his word. And whether you're Old Testament, New Testament, you're a child of God, you come in, and then it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Receive that in your heart. You cannot save yourself without me. You can do nothing. That's his law, that's his word. Receive that in your heart. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's his law, that's his word. Receive that in your heart. And if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Receive that in your heart. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Receive that in your heart. That's what brings salvation. That's what brings spiritual strength. That's what brings our likeness, our resemblance unto the Lord. And then it says in verse 23, it says, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. It's the word that builds us up. It says that we're to commit ourselves to the word of God, which is able to build you up. It's the word that builds us up. That's the reason why you understand the purpose of the word, you understand the power of the word, and you keep yourself there. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. The word comes, and then the word of God will separate you from sin. or sin will separate you from the word and from the Lord and from heaven. But when you receive the word of God in your heart, you believe the word of God in your heart, you meditate upon the word in your heart, you live your act by the word in your heart, then you'll be built up. The Lord will build you up in Jesus' name. Look at chapter 23 of Job. Job 23, we're looking at verse 12. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. It causes the law, it causes the word, it causes the commandment. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. Again, he brings it out. In the law, in the commandment, in the word of his mouth, I've esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. It says, as my necessary food builds up my body, then the word, the spiritual word, beats up my spiritual life, my soul, my spirit. And since I have spirit, soul, and body, and at last the body will die and go to the grave, then the spirit will go back to God who gave it. If I'm feeding my body, which is only for a short time, then I need to feed my spirit and my soul with the word of God, and then your soul will live forever in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 19, reading from verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law, the commandment, the promises, the precepts, the word of God, everything, they're all the same. And it says, is that law, is that word of the Lord, is that commandment of the Lord, is that provision of the Lord, is that promise of the Lord that is perfect and it converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In verse 8, it said, the statutes of the Lord are right. The same thing, the law, the commandments, the word, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, thy words, not man's words, the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I took them. I swallowed them. I received them. I digested them. It then went into all the parts of my personality. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Is this word that will bring the joy of salvation shown to me, given to me, restored to me, the joy of thy salvation? Is the word, when you hear the word, you can come, it will forgive you, it will change your life, it will turn your life around, it will write your name in the book of life in heaven, and then you accept that, you believe that, and it's like you swallow it in your personality. The joy of salvation will come. It's that word that will bring the fruit of the Spirit, that is love and peace and joy. It's the joy of salvation. Then you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Everything comes by the word. Let's say, for example, there's no Bible. How do you know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Let's say there's no Bible and you cannot hear the word of God. How do you know who God is, that God is love? How do you know who God is, that God is a father? How do you know that God is faithful? How do you know that all his word he will perform? How do you know that as the rain comes from heaven and bears fruit, that the word that comes from heaven, that it will bear fruit in that which I've sent. It is the word that makes you know who God is, how God was, and how God is. And that's why the Jeremiah, the prophet, said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me, the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It tells us in chapter 23 of Jeremiah, verse 28, Jeremiah 23, reading from verse 28, it tells us, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. The people that go about dream, okay, tell your dream, and he that has my word. A dream does not save. A dream does not heal. A dream does not deliver. A dream does not show you repentance. A dream does not show you how to get to heaven. A dream that does not talk about Calvary. But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord. And then in verse 29, it tells us, it's not my word like as the fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces, no matter how hard a heart is. Like Saul of Tarsus, when the word penetrates and comes in, all that rocky heart, stony heart, mountain of a heart, everything will be totally shattered. And then the chaff and the useless things in the heart is the word that will come like fire. And that fire of the word will burn every chaff, every useless thing away from our lives in Jesus' name. How does the word work in our lives? The beginning is this. Look at Romans chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 8. Romans chapter 10, we're reading from verse 8. But what says it? The word is nigh thee. That word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It is the word that gives us faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith to be saved, the faith to be healed, the faith to live right, and the faith to walk the narrow path that leads to heaven is the word that brings that faith in us. The faith to endure and the faith to stand in persecution or tribulation or trouble. It is the word that gives us the faith. It says the word of faith which we preach. Then in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. What we hear with our ear, we need to accept, we need to believe, we need to confess and conduct our lives by. That is how the word works effectively in us. That if you believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he hear your amen? Amen. You see, there are people, they come to the church, they go out of the church, they enjoy the service, but you know, what gets us to heaven is not enjoying the service. What gets us to heaven is not claiming that's my church. It is salvation from sin. And you need to know the day, the time that you are born again, that the Christ of Calvary came into your heart, and then he turned your life around and he changed you. And so it is not just I'm coming, I'm hearing. There must be that point in time where you know God is speaking to me. And because God is speaking to me, I consider that word. And then I come to God and my life is turned around. Saved, born again, converted. I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place and I can tell you how the Lord came and made me a new creature in Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I must ask you, when were you saved? What day? What time? What did you repent of? How did you believe? Was this testimony of the Spirit in your heart? The Spirit telling you, you are now a child of God. When you said you were saved, what change, what transformation came into your life? If any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When did that happen in your life? And then he tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And you don't believe into nothingness. You don't believe into shallowness. You don't believe into, you don't believe into religion. You believe unto righteousness. When that salvation takes place by the word of God, there is a transformation. There is a salvation. There is a change. And that change brings about righteousness in your life. And that righteousness comes from the heart. But then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The righteousness in the heart will come out in the mouth. The righteousness in the heart will come out in action. The righteousness in the heart will come out in your behavior, in your character. It will come out in a definite change that other people can see. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why it brings conviction. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why it pierces us. That's why it's pungent. That's why it pricks our heart and pricks our conscience, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It discerns our situation. It discerns our place where we are. It discerns whether we are on the right or on the left. And it shows us the way we ought to go. In verse 13, it tells us, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Look at James chapter 1 verse 18. James chapter 1 verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Begat he us. We're begotten. We're born again by the word. It's the word that tells us we're sinners. It's the word that tells us Jesus is Savior. It's the word that tells us we can call upon him. It's the word that tells us confess and forsake your sin. It is the word that tells us if you pray, the Lord will answer. It's the word that tells us that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, we are begotten by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In verse 22, it says, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. Anytime we hear the word of God, if it calls us to repentance, be ye doers of the word. If it tells us there's something to correct in our lives, a restitution to make, a restoration to do, a change that we ought to orchestrate and do in our lives, be ye doers of the word. If he tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, be ye doers of the word. If he tells us to do good unto all men, especially the household of faith, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I pray you'll not be deceived in Jesus' name. I will not be deceived. I will not deceive myself. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, see ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You have purified your souls in obeying the word. You have purified your souls in obeying his law. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth forever and ever. I pray that word will work in every heart. And then your neighbors will tell, your neighbors can tell, you've been to the Lord and his word has turned your life around and a change has come. And I pray that change will be visible to everyone around you, living around you, in Jesus' name. Amen. The change in your life will be visible to your children. Daddy doesn't fight mommy anymore. Daddy doesn't get angry at every little thing anymore. And mommy too doesn't, speak naughty things against daddy anymore. Your children will see the change. Your parents will see the change. If you're a child and you say you are born again because now you're obedient to the word of God, co-workers in the office, everybody around you, they will see that the word has converted you and the word has totally made you now to become a new creature, and you are walking in the light of the word in Jesus' name. In John chapter 17 verse 6, John chapter 17 verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, out of the world, out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. Your testimony will be affirmed by the way you keep the word of God. Anybody can say, I'm saved, or not there. All we can see is, they have kept thy word. Anybody can say, I'm committed, I'm consecrated, I'm sanctified. We're not there, we cannot tell. All we can see is they have kept thy word. Anybody can say, my name is written in the book of life in heaven. That's all right. But all we can see is they have kept thy word. It is the keeping of the word, the obedience to the word, that shows us that's a child of God, that's a believer, that person is saved. But if he's not keeping the word of God in his personal life, he's not able to keep the word of God with his neighbors he's living with, he's not keeping the word of God anytime, he doesn't have the grace because he has not been saved by grace, then there's no salvation. If there's salvation there, they have kept thy word. Look at verse 8 there. In verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou givest me. He didn't change it when he came from the Father. He didn't change it when he came from heaven. The same word the heavenly Father had given him, I have given unto them the words which thou givest me. They have received them, and I'm known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Look at verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There are many people, they have the word in the head, they have the word in the mind, but when you allow the word of God to penetrate your heart, the word that penetrates your heart will purify your heart, because it says, sanctify them, purify them, make them holy, cleanse them, transform them, make them like me, like I'm in the, that's in the heart. Sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy, and cleanse them through and through. Cleanse them, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might sanctify, make them holy, cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Then in verse 27, here is what the word of God does, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot. The word cleanses and washes and takes all the spot away, or wrinkle. That's the evidence. Wrinkle is the evidence of the old man, of the old nature, of the depravity. And it says, no wrinkle or any such thing, but that it shall be holy and without blemish. The Lord do it in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 59, reading from verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And then in verse 21, it says in verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. What we hear today, from henceforth and forever. The power of the word, from henceforth and forever. And the purity of the word, the purpose of the word, working in our hearts, in our lives, from today and forever, in everyone, for everyone, in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two now. Point number two is our purity and performance of the word in hope. We have hope, and the evidence is not a rotting hope, it's a lively hope, it's a realizable hope, is that we're obedient to the word of God. We cherish that word, we exalt that word, we embrace that word, we believe that word, we stand on that word. Our purity and performance of the word in hope. And let's come back to Psalm 119, verse 60. In verse 60, I make haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. I make haste, I didn't delay to keep thy commandments. When I hear about repentance and I look at my life, there's something to repent of, I don't push it forward. When I hear I need to make apology to the people I've offended, I don't delay. When I hear I must say sorry to my husband, to my wife, I must say sorry to that child, I say something that hurt somebody, and then I hear the word of God, leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile with your neighbor, with your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your child, your parent. I make haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. Then in verse 63 tells us, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts, a companion, a friend, an associate of those that keep thy precepts. And let's look at verse 57, 5, 7. It says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. That's what I committed myself to when I prayed, when I had the word of God. I have said, and I've opened my mouth to the Lord, I will not turn back. I have said, thou art my portion, and that I will keep thy words. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. I didn't misunderstand the affliction. I didn't misunderstand the correction. I didn't misunderstand all the trials that came. Now I have kept thy word. Verse 81, it says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. Verse 101, it tells us, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I abandon every wrong company. I abandon every wrong society. I come out of every gang. Anyone that will not help me, that will not assist me, that will not encourage me in living by the word, I abandon them, because I've refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Look at 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I won't go anywhere if the word of God does not show the light and make me to see very clearly the path I'm going through. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 114, it says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. It tells us in verse 130, Psalm 130, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. There's something you are thinking about. There's confusion. There's darkness. You don't know the way to go. And then the word comes, and the word gives light. And it says, this is the way to go, and you'll find rest for your soul. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It tells us in verse 133, order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. There are people that allow small iniquities to have dominion over them, and then it becomes a habit, becomes like a lion. A little lion came, and that lion is maybe not harmful now, but then it's growing and growing and growing until it will kill the person. I pray the Lord will preserve our lives. Small sins, the Lord will preserve us. Common sin, the Lord will preserve us. Habitual sin, the Lord will preserve us. Besetting sin, the Lord will preserve us. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He wants us to have purity of heart and purity of life, so that we perform the word of God, we obey the word of God, we keep the word of God in hope. The hope of seeing him on the final day. In 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They treat us like they treated Christ. He is the word personified, the living word, the eternal word. And then we now will labor by the word. And when you look at Christ, you see the word. When you look at us, you see the word. And what they did to the word, capital W, is what they do to us who are taking the word of God now, little W. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In verse 2, it tells us in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Now, when you believe on the Lord, are we the sons of God? Now, when you give your life completely to him without reservation, now, are we the sons of God? When you commit your heart, consecrate your life unto the Lord, now, in this present hour and this present life, now, are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. You will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Look at verse 3 there. And every man that has this hope in him, every woman that has this hope in him, every child that has this hope in him, every youth, every young person, every young adult that has this hope in him, every true child of God, everyone that's on his way to heaven, every pilgrim, everyone that has this hope in him, purifies himself. Purify himself. How do you purify yourself? The way you clean up your body with the water. The same way, the water of the word, every time, and as you bath, as you wash, as you cleanse, as you scrub yourself in the word of God, every area of your life, and you're not leaving any stone unturned, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. It tells us in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15 verse 9, Acts chapter 15 verse 9, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Remember that faith comes by the word of God. Remember that faith works by the word of God. Remember that faith is activated by the word of God. And when you activate that faith and you believe that word, the way the word was given, not modified, not changed, not kind of adulterated, but the word as it is, you accept that word and you believe that word, he purifies your heart by faith. And there's no difference between Peter and us. There's no difference between Paul and us. The same word that purged them, the same word that purified them, and the same word that sanctified them, that same word sanctifies us, purifies us, and purges us, and makes us holy. And whether it's a child, if a child is sanctified, and the father, parents are sanctified, the same sanctification. If a member of the church is sanctified and the minister is sanctified, the same sanctification, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, we're looking at verse 3 here, according as his divine power, the word has power. Now, when it says according as his divine power, how do you have the power of God? Through the word. How do you have pardon from God? Through the word. How do you have peace from God? Through the word. The word is the connecting link between us and God. We never know what God can do except through his word. We never know the power to purify except through his word. We never know how present he is with us except as the word tells us. It is the word, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge That's the word. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And then in verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us. Say, are given unto me. You have not got it yet. He gives us salvation. We see it in the word. He gives us sanctification. We see it in the word. He gives us Holy Spirit baptism. We see it in the word. He gives us strength. We see it in the word. He gives us holiness. We see it in the word. He gives us healing. We see it in the word. He gives us a new nature, a divine nature. We see it in the word. If you're ignorant of the word, if you don't have knowledge of the word, you will not know what the Father has freely given unto you. But whereby, as we read the word, as we study the word, as we examine the word, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. You will escape the corruption. In your office, all the corruption there, you will escape. In your market, all the corruption there, you'll escape. In your family, any corruption there, you'll escape in Jesus' name. In your tribe, in your culture, in your community, in your village, any corruption that the corruption of idolatry, you'll escape in Jesus' name. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then he tells us in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, reading from verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons, what manner of brothers, what manner of sisters, what manner of believers, Christians, ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Then in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Then in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Lord is not going to allow anyone to carry the righteousness of the world into the great beyond. Anyone that is going to be there is going to a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. And if there's any unrighteousness, this is the time and this is the day to cleanse them, to wash them up, and then to become righteous. And the righteousness of Christ is then transferred unto you when you repent, when you turn away, when you believe on the Lord. And then when that time comes and the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with them, we'll go to the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then in verse 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Amen. Peace in our family. Amen. You know, people will say, you know, we're going up in the rapture. The Lord is coming. We're getting ready for him. Husband and wife, there's no peace. They cannot talk together. They're keeping malice with one another. There's no peace. They do not see eye to eye. Every time in the night, they have to argue and argue and argue. And they go to bed in anger every night or some of the nights. And then for days, they will not relate together, talk together. And then they're praying. And then that man will stay in the room. Are we not going to take breakfast this morning? He's having quiet time. Anger in the heart. No peace in the heart. There is conflict in the family. And he's not resolving it. And he's praying. Heaven, heaven, heaven. My friend, who are you deceiving yourself? If we're going to make it on that day, it says that we may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I pray the word will so wash us, and then the power of the blood will cleanse us, and will be clean and pure through and through in Jesus' name. And look at 1 Peter there, chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3, it's talking about the hope we have, and you say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Unto a lively hope, not a rotting hope, unto a lively hope. It says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, wherefore, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. Hope to the end. The word in our heart, the word that gives us pardon, the word that gives us purity, the word that gives us power, the word that makes the presence of Christ to be real in our hearts, that's the word that grants us hope. It says, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, it says, as obedient children, it's the word that we obey that shows that we're pure and we have hope in Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former laws in your ignorance. And then in verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Then in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And with that holiness, by the grace of God, we'll be preparing and getting ready. We'll be there when he comes in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, you're not shaking, you're not moving in and moving out, you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a made a minister. And then in verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ, the Savior in you. Christ, the Redeemer in you. Christ, the Sanctifier in you. Christ, the Purifier in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Word and the hope. And we hope in the Word. And the Word builds up our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It tells us in Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 13. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. You see, we must have hope in the Lord, the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord, and that when the Lord will come, you and I will be ready in Jesus' name, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, who gave himself for us to be our substitute, to be our Savior, to be a sanctifier, to be the final sacrifice, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from, tell me out aloud, tell me shouting, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, reading from verse 6, it says, "For Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast," if we hold fast "the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope." We hold fast the word that gives us hope. We hold fast to that. The word that builds our hope, that makes our hope lively. We keep on to that. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Then in verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." I pray God will help every one of us to keep on holding, and we hold fast unto the end, in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading from verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're reading from verse 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us not slumber as do others. Let us not be lukewarm as others are. Let us not be lethargic as others are. Let us not be negligent as others are. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Watch and be sober, because the Lord is coming, and he can come any time from now. You might be in church, you might be outside the church, you might be at work, you might be at home, you might be awake, you might be physically sleeping. Let us watch and be sober. Verse 17, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night." Then verse 8, it says in verse 8, "But let us who have the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." Final salvation, eternal salvation, ultimate salvation, and the heavenly salvation. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." You have hope in the Lord. Don't get into any evil. Don't join any evil. Don't practice any evil. "Abstain from all appearance of evil." And then in verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did I hear an amen there? Look at verse 24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He will do it. He'll fulfill and perform all his good work in your life, in Jesus' name. Point number three now. In point number three, the permanence and preeminence of the word from heaven. The word he gives us came from heaven and is settled in heaven. And it is permanent and it is preeminent over everything you can think about. Opinions of man, the word of God is higher. Ideals of man, the word of God is higher. The proverbs, principles of men, the word of God is higher. The law, the constitution of man, the word of God is higher. All the books that are reaching on earth, all the ideas in all those books, the word of God is higher. The preeminence and permanence of the word from heaven. We're looking at Psalm 119 verse 89. Psalm 119 verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? Angels could not even change it in heaven. And Satan cannot change it here on earth. And theologians cannot change it here on earth. False prophets cannot change it over here on earth. A backslider cannot change that word here on earth. Forever. Somebody shout forever.
Forever.
O Lord, shout it.
Thy word
is settled in heaven. The word of salvation, the word of grace, the word of power, the word of promise, the word of Christ, the word of the gospel, the word that brings us from what we were to what we ought to be, the word that prepares us for the coming of the Lord, the condition of the word, the conditions it lays down for us, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What the Lord has settled in heaven, I pray none of us will try to scatter it in Jesus' name. Look at 160, verse 160 there. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever. Endureth forever. And then he tells us in verse 140, thy word is very pure. That word that is settled in heaven, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. 142. In 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Thy law, thy word is the truth. And then in verse 152, it says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them. How long? Forever. The permanence of the word and the preeminence of the word from heaven. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand, tell me, forever. The word of our God. If somebody is looking for a change, that this will change, that will change, the word of our God shall stand forever. And then he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, tell me, forever. Verse 25, it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel which is preached unto you. It tells us in Psalm 19, reading from verse 9, thy word, that word that abides forever, that word that lives forever, that word that standeth forever. In Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In verse 10, it tells us, more to be desired are they than gold? Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then in verse 11, it tells us, moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in the keeping of them there's great reward. At that time, and at this time, at that generation, and in this generation, from generation to generation, forever and ever, in the keeping of the word of God, there is great reward. It tells us in Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Permanent. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, preeminent. The counsel of the Lord above the counsel of man, above the counsel of philosophers, above the counsel of earthly teachers, above the counsel of religious leaders. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. And then in verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And then in Psalm 111, reading from verse 7, the works of his hand are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Then in verse 8, it says, they stand fast forever and ever. The commandments, the word, the statutes, everything he has given us, the precept and the promise, everything, it says, they stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. And let's come back to Psalm 119. And we're reading from verse 172. Remember thy word, thy word. It says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. If that word is forever and ever, and the word has authority, preeminence, priority over every other thing, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Thy word. Psalm 138 verse 2. 138 verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Thy truth. Look at this. For thou hast magnified thy word. Thy word. Thy word. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. All thy name. The name is the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The name of God is precious. The name of God is high as heaven. And yet the word, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. If you cannot think of changing the name of God, if you cannot think of adulterating the name of God, if you cannot think of falsifying the name of God, you cannot think of changing, adulterating, falsifying the word of God. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Jeremiah chapter 15, I'm reading from verse 16. Thy word, it says, thy words were found. Thy words were found. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. You see, there are people, they classify churches in different ways. They say that church has a good worship songs. That church has a good building. That church has a good, lively, young people pastor. That church has this and that. They don't respect the word of God. They don't think of the word of God. They come to the church and then they hear us. They hear the word of God, the pure word of God and the purifying word of God. And well, they say, okay, that's their emphasis, Bible, word of God. But then they say, I prefer a dancing church. I prefer this other kind of church. I prefer where they dress like this, dress like that. But you know, the important thing is the word of God in the church. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What's the effect of that? When you find the word of God, you discover the word of God, you hear the word of God, you cherish it, you swallow it, you eat it up, you digest it, you believe it, you apply it to your life. What's the effect of that? Look at verse 20 there. In verse 20, I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. That's your amen.
Amen.
They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee.
Amen.
If there's any weapon that conquers the devil, any weapon that conquers evil spirit, any weapon that conquers all the fighting and the weapons of the world, is the word of God. You have that word in you, and it says, I will make you unto these people a fenced brazen wall. A fenced brazen wall. That's a thick wall of brass, solid, that anything the devil or the cohorts or the servants of the devil, they throw at you, it will not hit you, it will hit the wall. And all their darts and all their arrows, everything will crumble in Jesus' name. They shall fight against thee. You know, there are people, they say, okay, it's just a prophet, he doesn't know how to fight. They say, I'm just a Bible believer. It's not, he doesn't know how to fight. And all he goes saying is, God bless you. God bless you. You know, that God bless you will be a weapon.
Yeah.
Even when you say hallelujah, it will be a weapon.
Yeah.
The word, remember the word is hammer. Remember the word is fire. And the word you speak, you must speak it slowly, you must speak it loud. It says, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, says the Lord. I like verse 21. Look at verse 21. And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked. And I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Mr. Terrible will not touch your life. Mr. Terrible will not cut short your life. When you take the word, the man said, I found your word and I did eat them. And the word of God that I swallowed, that I digest, that I believe, that I embrace, the word of God became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The Lord said, because you appreciate and you exalt my word like that, I will redeem you from the hand of the terrible. They will not come near. They will not destroy you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Whatever is coming from the sky will pass away. Whatever is coming from the soil will pass away. Whatever is coming from the sea will pass away. Whatever is coming from the forest will pass away. When they have all passed away, with all the powers of the sky, all the powers on earth, the word of Christ will not pass away. Anywhere you go, it will go with you. The power in the word, the productivity in the word, the purity of the word, the performance of the word will take effect in your life in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9, it says, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, is coming upon you, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and budge, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, this is for me. I said, this is for me. I said, this is for me. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Lord has sent the word into your heart, into your life, into your family, into your personality. This word will prosper. It will energize you. It will empower you. It will make you victorious. Before we pray, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well. Everything you have seen today, thou hast seen well. You've seen the power of the word, thou hast seen well. You've seen the permanence of the word, thou hast seen well. You've seen the preeminence of the word, thou hast seen well. You've seen the purity of the word, thou hast seen well. You've seen the performance of the word, thou hast seen well. You've seen the purpose of the word, thou hast seen well. You've seen the power of the word, you have seen well. From now, your way will be clear in Jesus' name. For I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. Salvation will be performed in your life. Sanctification performed in your life. Holiness performed in your life. Healing performed in your life. Power performed in your life. No failure again. No falling again. You will walk, you will not be weary. You will run, you will not faint. Performance. Where are you? Performance. I said, where are you? Performance. The performance of the word, the performance of the word, every promise performed in your life, every prophecy performed in your life, everything the Lord had given performed in your life. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, if you have seen the word of God, you've seen the purpose. If you have seen that in the word of God, you've seen the power. If you have seen it in the word of God, you've seen the purity. If you've seen it in the word of God, you've seen the performance. If you have seen it in the word, you've seen the preeminence and the permanence. Then believe the Lord and tell the Lord, oh Lord, you have said, I have seen well, and this word will be performed hastily in my life. Even today in my life, there have been no delay anymore in your life. The word is performed in your life.